It is my honor and a blessing to introduce to you Reverend Morgan McLean from the International Engagement Program Office. Reverend Morgan's office supports congregations involved in international ministry. They strive to make sure that in serving the needs of our global community, we are inclusive, just, and culturally sensitive. They also work to ensure that groups outside of the dominant culture within our UU and Free Christian communities get their voices heard, valued, reflected, and included in the collaborative work and partnerships to build global relationships that are equitable and inclusive. With the support of the International Office, we can build deeper relationships through listening and sharing, so that we better understand the challenges the different UU and Free Church groups face, as well as their context and particular history. And with their help, we can explore how we can share our money and other resources in a way that supports the creation of international partnerships that center self-determination, promote decolonization, and build paths toward self-sufficiency. Please give a warm welcome to Reverend Morgan McLean.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be with you all virtually today. I am in my home in Spring on the ancestral lands of the Manahoac people. As the Global Connections Program Manager at the UUA, I have the great pleasure of working with UUs around the globe and finding new ways of being together. And today, when I say UUs, I want you to imagine there's a slash between the U's, and it encompasses, as Reverend Maria Christina said, Unitarians, Universalists, Unitarian Universalists, and Free Christian traditions. And if you are sitting here learning for the very first time today that there are UUs outside of the United States, you are not alone. You were introduced by Barb to the Unitarian Union of Northeast India, but if you imagine a map of the world, you would see pins of UU communities in Brazil and South Africa and Burundi and the United Kingdom and Germany, Indonesia, Philippines, Australia, and many places in between. Each pin in that map represents its own history and social context for the faith. Many of these communities had their own discovery of Unitarianism or Unitarian Universalism. American Unitarian Universalists didn't have a missionary program. We've never been big on forcing people what to believe. I will say we don't have a perfect record on that, but that's another sermon, perhaps. The social and cultural realities of these UUs are vastly different. In Transylvania, which is in modern-day Romania, although the Unitarians are ethnically Hungarian, there was a Unitarian king in 1568. In the United Kingdom, the first Unitarian service was held in 1774, and the British Unitarians merged with the Free Christian churches in 1928. The Universalist Church of the Philippines was founded in 1954, and the Unitarian Universalist community in Brazil celebrated their 3-year anniversary just yesterday. We don't have a worldwide pope. We don't all believe exactly the same thing, but we are related, sharing a radical belief that we can change the world with the truth and love that is found within each person. We share a yearning for connection and for opportunities of deepening one's own faith by being in relationship with one another. You at East Shore have a long-standing relationship with your partners in Northeast India. Thank you, Barb and Doug, for putting together that story. The folks on Zoom read it. We lost you for a little minute, but we got to see those beautiful photos. And my cat just joined us. Apologies about that. So we don't have we have so many partners around around the world, and it's wonderful to hear from you all about the ways that you have been fostering friendship for many years. India, we're going to talk a little bit more about today, is sort of diamond shape. And there's a part of India, northeast of the main country that you picture on the map. And it's there in the state of Meghalaya where you will find the Unitarian Union of Northeast India. The Unitarians there are part of three tribes. We heard about the Khasi people earlier, and there are also the Pinar and the Garo people. The indigenous religion there is a non-Hindu religion with a belief in a creator god. And Welsh Methodist missionaries arrived there in the 19th century and created the first Khasi written text when they produced a Khasi translation of the Bible. Our Unitarian connection begins with a Khasi person named Hajam Kisor Singh, and he was born in 1865. He attended a Methodist missionary school, and he read the Bible, which was translated, excuse me. I have a five-year-old, and she let the cat in and then herself, right at the most inconvenient time. But I think her dad's about to come get her. So, Hajam Kisor Singh, born in 1865, attended a Methodist missionary school, read the Bible for himself, and began to ask questions about the nature of Jesus and God, and learned that other people had done so. Eventually, he got connected with the writings of American Unitarian minister William Ellery Channing, and that gave him the word Unitarian for the faith that he had articulated. In the Khasi Unitarian hymn book, you see that his idea of God is written as one God, one church, one people, one mission. Love God, love friends, live a blessed life. On September 18th, 1887, Hajam Kisor Singh led the first Unitarian church service in his home. One woman and two men joined him as the first members of this new church. Today, there are 35 Unitarian congregations there, and many of them have their own school, as you all know there from your work. Every year, that anniversary of the first service is celebrated with a month of special meals and community building, and ends in many places with a parade in the streets with music and a giant flaming chalice. As Barb and Doug shared earlier, this is a faith community grounded in joy and hope and hospitality, and knowing them gives us an invitation to deepening the expression of our faith in similar ways. The motto of the Unitarian Union of Northeast India is Tunangroi, or keep on progressing. Transcendentalist Henry David Thoreau wrote in his journal in 1837, when any real progress is made, we unlearn and learn anew what we thought we knew before. We unlearn and learn anew what we thought we knew before. My own global UU work has been an invitation to unlearn and learn anew every day. So I'd like to share a little bit of my own unlearning and invite you this morning into some reflection. Since the pandemic, we have learned in this world that humanity is truly interconnected and vulnerable, and we all need to care for each other. At this moment in history, it has been critically important for me and other Americans to take a step back and consider the Western colonial tendencies that have dominated and have not created a fair or just world. Americans are exceedingly generous, I will say, exceedingly generous, and organizations have been able to do tremendous work around the globe thanks to this generosity. Think of Planned Parenthood or American Civil Liberties Union here, or the Unitarian Universalist Association and its global partners, lives have been transformed. And we have an opportunity to reflect on our generosity, on our work, to reflect on the systems of relationships and charity, of education that have perpetuated inequality and inequity. I am unlearning my American white world charity mindset. We as a culture often have a sense that we Americans are the fixer, the people who know best. And with our money, we can do anything and we can show others the light. The learning anew for me has been how I might listen to what is needed. Listen without making suggestions, because I can be bossy. I can influence a decision both intentionally and unintentionally. So if I truly listen to what is needed, like in the ways that this congregation has listened to your partners and thought about your generosity, when we listen, we're better able to match the generosity with the true need. What would it be like to give generously without expecting thank you cards or a name on a brick or a ledger sheet of exactly how the funds were used? What if we gave with faith and trust and joy? I am unlearning also my white American love of spreadsheets and a sense of work outcomes. Americans love a mission statement and a strategic plan. And how many of you have been part of a strategic planning process, maybe at work or at church? I can't hear the sanctuary, but I assume there are nervous giggles. So our way of being is to assume that if you lock us in a room for a weekend, we can produce all the answers and the due dates outlined for the next 5 or 10 years. My learning anew is to wonder, how might we center relationships over outcomes? How might we make room in a 5-year plan for new ideas, for emerging connections, for inspiration? For me, the practice of noticing our behaviors and tendencies has helped to decolonize my own mind. And by that, I mean let go of those militaristic and capitalistic concepts that are my white American history and social context. I am always finding myself defaulting to these concepts. I had the opportunity to present a community award to a Quaker community, a historic peace church. And I heard myself say into the microphone, "Thank you for always being on the front line for justice." On the front line? We're not at war. And in fact, there I am in a peace church. No, are we on the front line for justice, or are we holding hands to transform the world? Do we need bullet points? Can't we have takeaways instead? We say things that we don't mean. We say things like slave over a hot stove. Let's stop saying that one. We say things that we don't mean, that evoke a history that is not something to be proud of. As we notice things like this, we are beginning to decolonize our minds and eventually how we are and how we see the world. One thing we noticed at the Unitarian Universalist Association is that we have been using the word international, and we are starting to use the word global more, because international talks about borders of nation states that are often created in conflict, and the borders are not what's important in our relationships. And in fact, several UU communities live within borders that do not reflect their identity. I want to pause just for a moment to take a breath. So I invite you all to take a breath. And just notice for a moment if you resonated with any of these ideas. Notice if you heard yourself saying things like that, or started making connections, or if you're holding tension in your shoulders, or maybe feeling a little uncomfortable. It's good to notice. How might you unlearn and learn anew? Are there phrases you hear yourself saying that you don't mean? Are there ways that you have engaged in justice activities that might have been a little bossy? What are ways you might consider your generosity that would be more open? I know there are many opportunities to engage in such conversations in your congregation. And as you do, as individuals and as a group, you are helping to build our global faith community. Because what happens inside your walls extends around the world. When we are in relationship with intentionality, transformation happens. Prior to my job at the UUA, I was the volunteer chair of the board of what was known as the UU Partner Church Council. It was the organization that supported U.S. congregations and their partnerships like yours. And I've been on many Zoom meetings with many of you, so thank you, Ishore, for always showing up and always participating. In that organization, even before the whole world changed in March of 2020, we knew that we needed to do things differently. And eventually we admitted to ourselves that we didn't know how to do things differently, but that we were committed to figuring it out, committed to keep progressing. So we took a bold step and we dissolved that organization and gave our power, our public support, our membership list, our remaining funds, and our true commitment to a new thing. We intentionally formed a group called the Leadership and Design Team, and we encouraged them to take their time to make space for what's next, because we knew that we couldn't lock ourselves in a room for a weekend and just create a product. If we were able to take the time, we could create an organization in a new way with space for reflection and personal growth. And that has been happening for the last 18 months. The UUA has been able to support this group with my time and financial grants. I am the facilitator. I send meeting reminders. I set up the Zoom, but I am not the chair. I am not the decider. I get to practice unlearning my bossy white American ways every day. This team is a group of 9 people with varying levels of experience from places around the globe. Half of them are under 40. All of them are committed to their faith communities and are creative thinkers. They have taken the time to build relationships with each other and truly understand each other's unique contexts and needs. This is the future of our global faith. We are connected more than ever thanks to Zoom and WhatsApp and generations of UUs who knew that global connection was life-giving and faith-deepening. The Leadership and Design Team will soon launch a UU global network where individuals and groups can easily find each other and connect over shared interests and opportunities. It will be a more equitable space where generosity will meet needs, and tools like Google Translate will help resources and knowledge be more accessible. This network will intentionally decenter American and Western voices. In some practical ways, like encouraging staff and volunteer leadership from countries that haven't had as loud of a voice, and by inviting Americans into reflection about being in relationship in new ways. We all have unlearning to do and learning together new ways of doing things. And these are not insignificant things, new ways of using language, of sharing wealth, and new ways of understanding our American selves in a global context. You and I, all of us, are part of this. You and I are part of building this global community. Thank you for holding hands to transform the world. Amen.